Pastor Mary, and I'm the children's pastor here at SP. So if you're not used to seeing me at this service, it's because I'm usually running around on the third and the ninth floor making sure the kids are okay. But don't worry, parents, they're in very good hands this morning. Before we get started, I wanted to put in a plug for Thursday night prayer this week. For the next 3 weeks, we will be continuing on praying for the retreat. But this Friday is a public holiday, so we've decided to move up our prayer night to Thursday night. So we'll meet here in the sanctuary at 8 o'clock, and it's about an hour long. So this past Friday, it was a really good time of prayer to come together, not just to pray for the retreat, but pray for ourselves to get ourselves ready for retreat. So please come on out 8 o'clock here on Thursday night. So today, we continue on with our series on serving the church. The title of my sermon is Why Serve? This entire year, we've been talking about building the house. The first half, we focused on ourselves, the inward building up. But as we're pushing towards the end of the year, we're looking at how, with the growing of the inside, can we now build up the church itself and not just our own individual selves. So before I get into the sermon and before I ask Angie to come up and give a testimony, I wanted to define for you what church means. The word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, meaning a called out company or assembly. The Strong's Concordance also includes to that definition, it is the whole body of Christian believers. When you use the word church, it can be used in three ways. So the first way that you can use the word church is when we talk about the church as being the body of all living, currently individual believers. If we look at it like a family, it's your extended family. It's your great aunt who's still living. It's your niece. It's your nephew. But it's also the people who are related to you that you don't know. For example, I know I have relatives in South Africa that I've never met, New Zealand I've never met. They're all over the world. I've never met them, but they're still part of my extended family. So that's the first way we can use the word church. The second way we can use the word church is when we use the word in the context of the universal church. And if you were here for the Apostles' Creed, we say, I believe in the holy universal church. This definition and this way of using it means anybody who's ever believed in Jesus, past, currently, or in the future. This is your genealogy, your family tree, or the people who are yet to come. And the third way is the local church, and that would be us, SP. It's the place where we come together to learn, serve, and worship God. And if I were to put this in family terms, it's your immediate family. The ones that you do life with on a regular basis, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your children. These are the people that you get dirty with. Iron sharpens iron. The ones that are going to be immediately in your life. Today, my sermon is mostly going to be looking at how to serve your local church, but it can look at the broad spectrum as well. So when I was asked to give the sermon, I really wanted to have someone give a testimony. And so I started to pray about who to choose. And because I am the children's pastor, I wanted to choose someone who served in my ministry. And not only did I want to choose someone who served in my ministry, it's someone that I can serve along with, and I have served along with. So as I prayed, a couple people came to mind. But Angie's the one who stood out the most to me, not only because now she serves under me, but because she and I used to serve together. And we served together, teaching together. And I really felt like I'm going to be talking about how we partner together today. And there was no one better to choose than Angie, because she and I have partnered together while serving together for so many years. Angie is currently a house church leader. She is part of the Well team, and she leads our oldest, she's the head teacher, the lead teacher of our Spark class, which is our oldest Noah's Ark class. So if we could just welcome Angie up, and she's going to give her testimony.
Hi, good morning, everyone. So I started serving in 2008. I was a pretty new Christian, and they announced during the announcements that they needed people to serve on the welcoming team. So I signed up. That was why. So my first house church leader, he taught me to be faithful in the small things. Because if God can't trust you in the small things, how can he trust you in the big things? So when I serve, I try to remember that I'm serving for God. I'm serving God. And I tried to be on time, I tried to be responsible, I tried not to look at serving as though it's something I can flake in the last minute or something that's not really important to me. It's just, oh, it's just welcoming. I can come late. It's okay. I can fold it. You know, while the people are there, I try to be on time. But that's not to say that I'm 100% faithful all the time. I fall short a lot. I don't even want to say this, but for example, my EMP track record is rather uninspiring. But I did go last week. Anyways, let's not talk about this anymore. Different conversation. So I've been leading house church since 2009, and a couple of months before PSAM asked me to be a house church leader, we had Bible study in our house church. And I asked my house church leaders during in the middle of it, I was like, wait, was Jesus a Jew? And then a couple of months, PSAM asked me to be the house church leader of the same group of people who heard me ask these super intellectual questions. And amongst the people who are in my house church were people like Chris Lee, who is nicknamed Korean Jesus. And he's preached at like SP Hong Kong, SP Beijing multiple times. So why did PSAM ask someone like me to be a leader when I knew so little? Good question. To this day, I don't think I'm the most gifted or spiritual, whatever that means, at all of most people. When we have prayer meetings or something for mission trips or whatever it is, we try to get a word or a picture for someone. 9 out of 10 times, I don't see anything or I see something totally random. And so even during house church, there was a newcomer who came and we wanted to pray prophetically for this person to welcome him. I was like, I see a picture of a giraffe. Does this mean anything to you? He's like, no. I was like, oh, forget it. Don't worry about it. And then my house church members, they had really spot on words and pictures, which was wonderful. So this is not to deter you from joining my house church. We meet on Wednesdays. And I have to be honest, I'm also not very gifted in even leading discussion. I hate leading discussion. And when people share, a lot of times I'm listening so intently, I'm not really thinking because I'm listening. And after they share, I'm like, uh-oh, thank you for sharing. That was really good. And yeah, but don't worry, we all take turns leading house church in this house church. It's called Island House Church. So anyways, yeah, thank you. So we also have people like Matt and Rachel in our house church. Anyways, so why would God ask someone like me to lead? So before I answer that, many people I've spoken to in the past few years, they feel overlooked or not valued, appreciated, recognized by the church, by the pastors, by the leaders, because they haven't been asked to lead. Or, you know, maybe they auditioned for the worship team and they got rejected. So but I just want to tell them that just because you're not asked to lead doesn't mean you're any less gifted, qualified, whatever, you know, whatever it is, than the people who may be leading, right? Because I believe it's not necessarily always based on merit, knowledge, whatever experience. God sometimes asks people to lead for many different reasons. Sometimes it's to make the person who's leading grow and really rely on God. For example, or maybe it's to show others how not to lead. You know, for the person watching someone lead very badly and still submitting and honoring them, it takes a lot of humility. And also, maybe God is refining you like he did with Joseph, the technicolor Joseph. Anyways, for things that he will ask you to do in the future. So in the Bible, God often asks people who are not qualified to lead, like the fishermen who became disciples, the shepherd boy who became a king, or someone like myself. And you really need to rely on God a lot in order to lead. Because even though I don't think I can do a lot of things, but when I rely on God, I can. And I ask him for wisdom, for help, and he always answers because God is faithful. So even though I can't with my own abilities, but with God I can, and that's more than enough. So I'm going to close in prayer. Father God, I pray that you'll give us all servant hearts to serve wherever and in whatever capacity you want us to serve in. And I pray that your anointing will be with Pastor Mary as she speaks today, and that you'll speak to everybody who's here or listening. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Angie. You see why I chose her, right? Like, she's hilarious, but and very open and honest. So let's just open our Bibles to Romans 12, verses 1 through 13. And I'm going to be mainly focusing on verses 4 through 8, but I want to give us some context. So we're going to look at the verses just before and just after. So Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in the accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourself, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Father God, we just come before you today, Lord, to learn how to serve you. God, to learn why to serve you, Father. Lord, we ask that your spirit will be here guiding us and directing us, God, that the words that come out of my mouth come from you. God, we just ask that our hearts are open, God, to receive what you have in store for us. In your name we pray, amen. Well, putting this together, I'd like to look at a couple different versions. So I'm going to read to you just a part of the message of the same scripture, because I kind of like the way Eugene Peterson puts it. So in this way, we are like various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned to all the excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we are made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teachings. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. I'm going to read that one again because I think I need to hear that one. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. All right, so Romans 12, 4 through 8. I have 4 points today, but I have 4 things that stood out to me as I was preparing the other 4 points. So I have my 4 mini points before I get into my 4 main points. And they are mini points, I promise. I practiced this. It's not a very long sermon, so I'm going to reward you all today with some extra time together fellowshipping. Okay, but the first thing, the very first thing that stood out to me was that we learn that we are the body of Christ. We hear this over and over again, but what does that really mean? Okay, if we look at our own bodies, we know that there are many parts. We have fingers, we have eyes, we have eyelashes. We have all sorts of things that go into work. And they're complex. Our bodies are very complex organisms, and honestly, I don't really know why things work the way they do. But I think there's a point to that. Sometimes, when we serve, we may not fully understand how the body of Christ is working together, how they fit, right? So we're just like our bodies, complex beings. This church is also quite complex. You might look at inner healing, the inner healing ministry, and go, well, how does that connect to children's ministry? Or you look at local outreach and wonder, how does that have anything to do with the barista team, right? And so like our bodies, we are complex, and we don't always understand why the things work the way they do. So is the same as the church. We have all these different ministries going on with all these different people serving. And if we don't stop and just recognize that God has a plan, we might not see how they fit together, but they do. Second, we also have to remember that we are a cohesive whole. When we divide in our church, we break the body down. When we fight or we gossip, we are tearing the body down, right? It's like if you go to the gym and you only lift your arms, your legs are going to, have you seen those bodybuilders, right? The top is really big and the bottom is like a stick, right? You have to work the whole body. And if you neglect a certain part, it becomes weak. It starts to break down. But also, if we start to fight, we break the body down. And that is not what God wants. We also have to remember every member of the body has a function. And they are not independent of each other. Everyone has a function, just like every part of our body has a function, but they are not independent. They are together. And we need to remember that we are one. And our body is called to love. We are not meant to be separate, but joined. Now, that doesn't mean as a children's minister, I can just jump in and tell Ricky how to run SPU, or I can jump in and tell Nate how to run, P. Nate how to run youth group, right? There are people who are in leadership and a method and a model. But we're not supposed to work against each other. It's not supposed to be like, oh, I need youth group to be so good. So sorry, I'm going to steal all your teachers, Mary, because they're fantastic, right? Or anything like that. We work together to build each other up. And to remember in our roles in the body are not based on our talents. Our roles in our body are not based on our talents. I want you to think about that. Many times we come to church and we think, I am good at something. So let me serve in that something. So for example, I'm just going to talk about children a lot today. So just get used to it. If you don't have kids, hopefully one day you will. And it's okay, but I'm going to talk about kids. You come in, I am a great teacher, so I'm going to go talk to P. Mary, and I'm going to start serving. Okay, but have you done GIC? Have you been here for 6 months? Are you plugged into a house church? Or is that what God's actually calling you to do? Or you're gifted with numbers, so you're like, I'm going to go to P. Andrew and say, I'm going to help with the finance team. And he's like, well, actually, no, I don't need you there right now. I don't know if he needs more people. Don't take this as a sign or anything, okay? But each of us are called, and it's not based on our talents. I think the testimonies today were so great because she was, when they were telling the testimony, they were talking about how it doesn't matter how good you are at something. It's the willingness, right? And God will give us gifts. Sometimes God gives us gifts for a very moment in time, and we don't have that gift the next day. Because the gifting and the serving is not about us, it's about God. So those are my four quick, short points before I get into our four main points. So point one, we serve because we are the body, not because it's easy. We serve because we are the body, not because it's easy. When I first came to Hong Kong 10 years ago, I was attending another church and I was done serving. I had had my fill. My mom might be watching right now, so sorry. But I was tired of being used at my home church. And, you know, I'd be sitting in service, and they didn't have someone to serve in the children's ministry, so they'd come and grab me halfway through service to go do something. And I was done. I was fed up. And so I decided I was just going to be fed. I wasn't going to do anything. I wasn't here, by the way. It was another church. And funny thing is, my roommate at the time was part of the children's ministry leadership at the church. And she knew not to ask me, I would say no. But when I came to SP here, I started to serve again. And something happened. I used to think when I started serving in the children's ministry, something was fulfilled because I needed to be with kids. But as I was prepping for this sermon, God said something to me very differently. The reason why when you started serving at SP that you felt so good or you felt fulfilled was because you are finally doing what I call my children to do, which is to be part of the body. I could have served anywhere. I happened to be tricked into serving in Noah's Ark, and we see what happened with that, but I'm not joking, it was a complete trick. P. Sam Kim might say otherwise, but they tricked me into this. And But really, God was saying, no. When you started serving in the body, the reason why you started to feel different, because you were finally walking in the calling I had for you, which is to be part of the body. So for those of you who don't know me, I taught for 8 years. I haven't been working here for 10 years. I taught for my first 8 years in Hong Kong. And I also coach sports. And I coached basketball for 8 years. Now, I had played basketball only through eighth grade. I really didn't know what I was doing, but I knew how to coach. I'd coached soccer. Turns out, I coached soccer and basketball here, and I fell in love with coaching basketball more than soccer. I ended up hating coaching soccer. But I started coaching, and there's two teams, very different teams. So Team A, okay, this team was my undefeated team throughout the entire season. They shocked us because the previous year they were the defeated team. They had lost all but one game. They were terrible. In fact, it was so shocking that the coach, there was two of us coaching. Ryan and I stood there and go, what happened? We actually were just completely floored. They kept winning. But what actually happened is we had a couple of new players come into our school. And they were very good. They were probably the best players I've ever coached. But there was a problem. The team only played for those individuals. Those individuals made up the team. And they went through the whole season winning and winning and winning. And on these, I think it was like two or three girls. That was it. And we get to the quarterfinals and we lost. They didn't expect to lose. They walked on that court cocky, ready to beat the other team because they had demolished them earlier in that year. But see, the greatest strength, which was a few individual players, became their greatest defeat. The entire team, I think we had 12 girls on the team, I can't remember exactly. They depended on three. Then we had Team B. And Team B was not the best, did not have the best individual players. Match them one-to-one to the other team, Team A would beat them, hands down. They were individually the weaker team. In the preseason, they lost all but one game at the tournaments that we had attended. But throughout the season, they learned how to play together. Each member doing their job, playing to their strengths of the entire team, not to the few. In the end, we ended up winning the championship game. Funny thing is, I didn't even know we had won. We were up by 2 points. At the buzzer, there was a foul called. I didn't know who the foul was against. So if the other team had gotten the ball, they could have tied up and we could have kept playing. And sometimes in a ministry, we don't see what God is doing. But God sees where he's going. I didn't know we had won. God already knows he has won. See, in the body of Christ, we have people who serve and those who do not. Yet God calls us as a body. We each have a role. We can join together and be like Team B. Individually, we may not be the strongest. But when we come together meeting the needs of the church, we're able to be the body that God has called us to be. We can be Team A, depending on the few, or Team B, depending on everyone, which actually lightens the load. Too often in the church, it's the same people doing the same work. But in Romans 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12, we see that God has given each of us gifts, each of us a role to play. So what do we do when we think we're not gifted or talented in the areas the church needs servants? And you're going to hear that I'm using the word servants and not volunteers. These are questions and statements I've heard regarding children's ministry when I approach someone to teach. I'm not good with kids. I mean, that seems like a valid point, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of people in children's ministry who weren't very good with kids when they first came in. I don't know the Bible enough to teach it. That's another big one I've heard. One of my teachers this week sent me a message, and they said to me, boy, if you want to learn the Bible, I realize I really need to teach in Noah's Ark. Like, they're like, and this is someone who grew up in the church. And they're like, the way you learn the Bible is by teaching it. This one's my favorite. I have to take them to the bathroom. What if? That one I get. That one I fully understand. You never know what happens. And I'll tell you, our teachers are great. They've had to clean up poop off the floor, and it's fantastic. And they just smile doing it. And I'm so proud of them for that because it means I don't have to. But anyways, we need to remember serving is not about me, what I'm good at. It's about God. and allowing God to work through us. As I was saying earlier, we have teachers that come in who are not very gifted. They're not very talented when they first come in. And I'll tell you, I do love when professional teachers sign up to teach because it means my job is easier. I don't have to train them how to manage a classroom. And if I do, then I need to talk to them about their actual teaching. But I find myself cheering on the teachers who have never had experience with kids because they're the ones you get to see grow the most. They're the ones who, now I have a few, and I won't mention names to embarrass them, but some of them were absolutely horrible when they came in. Like, terrible. And they're now the ones teaching others how to lead worship. They're now the ones who are teaching people how to teach the story. They're now the ones who are teaching others how to have a relationship with children. All things they did not have a clue how to do when they first came in. This can apply to any ministry, by the way. I mean, there are some ministries that you can't just say, hey, I want to join and do be a part of. But every ministry, there's a possibility for you to be able to grow and to learn. And I find that if you're not very good at it, you tend to rely on God more. Now, I'm going to, as I said, it's all about children's ministry today and my examples. But when I came to SP, I had four things I wanted for the children's ministry. And you have to, I had been already serving in children's ministry at SP for 5 years. So it wasn't like I was coming in blind. I knew what it was like. I knew what I wanted. I had been praying for 6 months while I was at home. What did God want? So there's four things I really felt needed to change. So the first thing was I wanted more men to serve. I wanted more men to serve. I don't know if you noticed this, but when we were singing that last song, Elvin was sitting here and he had two little kids by him. There is nothing more beautiful than that. Two kids sitting by him, being able to have a man in their life at church to help guide them. We have 13 men currently serving in Noah's Ark. That sounds wow, but that's actually not a very good percentage. We still have about 70% women. Okay? But I am wow because that is the most men we've ever had. So that's we're making progress. Okay? The next thing I wanted was kids serving in Noah's Ark, not adults. Currently, we have two youth group kids, Elise Song and Ching Ching. Also, if you didn't notice, Ching Ching was standing right here worshiping. All the kids were by her. All the kids were congregating around her. Kids like kids. Kids like young people. They can relate to them. And Ching Ching has all the energy in the world to keep going with them. Okay? When the rest of us are getting tired, she can just keep going and going and going. Okay, Elise Song, she serves in the nursery. Now it helps that she has a little brother that she's had skills with, but she loves it. And the kids love her. You can ask some of the parents. They'll be like, Elise, Elise. And then we also have one Noah's Ark kid, Emma. And they love Emma. See, there's no age too old or too young to start serving. The third group, and by the way, I want more youth group and more Noah's Ark kids serving in the ministry because I see the beauty and how great that turns out to be. And I started serving when I was probably 10 in children's ministry. So you're never too young. Third group was I wanted more professional teachers. More professional teachers, including myself and Ashley. I run the ministry and Ashley serves in it and works at the church. There are six professional teachers. I'm not sure if that includes Angie into the count or not, but Angie's also a professional teacher now. Don't let you say, I never want to hear someone say, you can't ask a teacher to teach. What is that? If God has gifted you in teaching, why would you choose not to use that in the place of his body in his church? It just never made sense to me. If God has gifted you in administration, and it's a spiritual gift, okay? I'm not just saying you're good at it. It's your spiritual gift, okay? There are a difference between being skilled at something and it being a spiritual gift, and I recognize those are not one and the same. But if God has gifted you with administration and you're not helping out to admin at church, but you do it in your job, how are we using the gifts God has given us? Or if you are gifted in hospitality and you are not serving in the barista or welcoming team, are we really using what God has called us to do? And I want more teachers, by the way, okay? That number needs to go up. And finally, hi, sweetheart. I love that. It's awesome. Okay, finally, I wanted more parents to serve. Yes, you are a service with lots of parents. And just like men to women ratio, we have a very strong single representation in the ministry. But we do have 13 married people serving. A lot of them happen to be our men, actually. A lot of dads have stepped up to serve in our ministry, which is phenomenal. Or they've become dads while serving and they've stayed on. Now, I don't just bring this up to highlight children's ministry. It's just what I know the best. I highlight it so we can look at the church as a whole. See, if I just target single women, our kids miss out on so much. If I just target parents, our kids never get to bond with a single person. By having professional teachers, we get to gain an insight into how education works. And just like that, in every ministry and in the body of Christ, we need to have representations of all levels. Because that is how we grow. That is how we become stronger. Point two. This was part of my point one, but I decided to separate it this morning. We serve because it helps us grow. Don't take the shortcuts. So just like our physical bodies, where we often try to take shortcuts, like, you know, that, you know, the 21-day detox, or the take this pill and I'm going to lose a lot of weight, or do this, you know, all this. We try to take shortcuts with our bodies, and we always realize it doesn't really help us. In the body of Christ, there are no shortcuts. A couple weeks ago in Hong Kong, there's this, different ministries have these prayer networks. So senior pastors get together and pray, children's pastors, youth group pastors, I think worship. There's a whole bunch of these. All the international churches are invited. And I was at one of these meetings for children's ministers. And it's funny, I didn't want to go. And God really was like, go. And I learned so much at that meeting. But one of the women was telling a story. And she was saying how she leads another church. And she was thinking about changing curriculums. And she's like, I want to change curriculum, so we just use videos to make make teaching easier. And she was telling her husband this. And her husband doesn't work at the church. I don't know what he does. But he said, no, don't you dare do that. Now, I love videos. I think they're great. But he said something. If you move to a video curriculum, you are taking away the opportunity for your teachers to use the gifts that God has given them. Or you are taking away a chance for them to be able to grow in the gifting God has in store for them. And it blew my mind. I was like, ah, that's why I had to be here to hear that. We don't want you to take shortcuts. There's no easy way to grow. It may seem easy. God may make it graceful and it might seem easy, but it doesn't mean we take the shortcuts. And I also am not sitting here saying, take the hard way every way, okay? Be discerning. Use wisdom. If there's an easier way, sometimes it's okay to do it, okay? But don't look for the easy way, because that's not what God is into. Ephesians 4:16 says, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by whatever joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for building up of itself in love. As we serve as members of one body, that is when love can grow and be nurtured in the church. We may not understand or see how each part of the body is working or how it fits together, but with Christ as the head, we know that he has the vision and knows how to bring everything together to spread his love and kingdom in and through the local church. Even though it may not be easy, as we come together, we can grow together as well. Point three, we serve because it's not volunteer work. We serve because it's not volunteer work. Now, I grew up in the church. My mom worked in the church. And if you were to ask her how many times I got angry while she was working on Sunday, it was probably every single Sunday. Multiple times. God has been very gracious in redeeming some of that. But I always got very frustrated when I would see people not doing what God... It would just always be on the people working. The people who were paid. Now, don't get me wrong. My home church, I do love the people in my home church. They're great people. They pray for me. They're fantastic. So I'm not trying to criticize. It's just using my experience. But that's something that always kind of stayed with me Why do we depend only on the people who are paid? Remember last 2 weeks ago, P. Sam said you have the X plus Y equals the Z factor, right? The X, right? Something like that. And you are the Y factor. You make up way more people than I do and P. Nate and the rest of the team. I was trying to figure out, I couldn't put it into my own words why that was bothering me though. So I started to do some research, looking through the Bible and just looking online at what other Christians had to say about serving is not volunteer work. And I ran into a blog by a guy named Joseph Yeo. He's a pastor at, I think, a Methodist church in the States. I'd never heard of him before, but he put it into such great words that it articulated best what I was trying to put in to my own words. And so this is what he says. Perhaps you will argue that the words volunteering and serving is all about semantics. But sometimes semantics affects our thinking and the way we do things a lot more than you would think. And for me, here's the difference. When I think of volunteering, I think of helping out with a cause because I want to. I also know that my volunteering schedule is dependent on how busy I am. Though I wouldn't put it in this way because it may be too blunt and truthful, I really volunteer when it's a bit convenient or easy for me. I volunteer when I want, for what I want, and however long I want, even for who I want. And yes, I don't feel too terribly bad when I walk away feeling good about myself for the volunteer work I did. But when I think about being a servant and servanthood, I have a different understanding. Whereas I may volunteer because I want to, I serve because I need to. Volunteering may be a choice, but serving is a calling. As a Christ follower, I'm called to serve. There's a certain freedom that comes with volunteering, but serving? I'm a servant of Christ? How many times does Paul use the phrase like slave of Christ? So to me, there's a different feeling to the meaning of volunteering and serving. And maybe many people take church and serving at church a bit too lightly because we view it as volunteering and not a calling. In Galatians 5:13, it says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." It continues on by saying that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. But the section starts with us seeing that to love our neighbors is to serve them. And we aren't told that it is a choice to love, but rather it is a command. Jesus says in John 13, 34 through 35, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. By this they will know you are my disciples if you love one another." In Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, when it talks about spiritual gifts, which should be used to build up the church, it never says use it if you want to. Rather, it tells us to use what God has given us. In the parable of the talents, we see that if we don't use the gifts God has given us, he will take them away. But if we use them, he will give you more. Now, I know some people might think, well, I'm busy, I have an important job, I need to take care of my children, I serve outside the church already, but the reality, when you look at how much time you are asked to serve, it's not that much. I think oftentimes we lose perspective. You get asked to serve in a ministry, you're like, but I'm so busy. So I did an informal study. This is very informal. I just asked the leaders of four ministries, myself included, how much time is actually required to serve in their ministry. Okay, so I looked at welcoming. The first one is welcoming. And P. Andrew says it's about 26 hours a year. We're going to do this in a year's term, okay? To serve unwelcoming, 26 hours. You have no excuse, people, if you're asked to serve unwelcoming. And you know what? A big chunk of that, you're sitting in the service. You're sitting right now. Some of you, welcoming people, are sitting in the service right now. They've served. Next one is homies outreach. And I asked Janella, and she said it's about 80 hours. I actually upped it. She said less, but I decided I would add a few more hours. For barista, it's about 24 to 36 hours a year total. And finally, for Noah's Ark, it's 52 hours total a year. Parents, that should tell you, we can't make the greatest impact in your kids if we only see them 52 hours a year. We can do our part, but it's just small. But then if you add in home and prayer meetings and things like that, it comes to about 70 hours. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not using time to make you think these are easy ministries. By no means do I say they're easy. Okay? They can be challenging. But when we use excuses why we don't serve, maybe it's just our perspective is kind of messed up. Myself included, by the way. Because I sometimes I just don't want to do things. And I'm like, oh, I'm so busy. But when I actually put it into perspective, I'm really not that busy. We need to get out of ourselves and realize that I'm a member of this body. Here in Hong Kong, the whole world, we are a body of believers. Yes, church is a place to come to learn and to be fed, but it is also a place where we come to worship, to grow, and to grow, you need to serve. You're only going to grow so far in your spirituality if you only get fed. At some point, you have to go from being fed to feed. Parents, I'm going to talk to you for just a second because I get your attention and I don't get this very often. Serve with your children. Don't use them as an excuse to not serve. Let them see you demonstrate what it means to be part of your church family. I was very blessed to have a mother who got it. I was serving alongside her in children's ministry. My sister did. My brother did. Both my brothers. And now I'm not saying we're a stereotypical family that if you serve, this will happen. But if I look at my family, my sister was a youth leader for 6 years. And she still works at the church helping out clean because she wants to be a stay-at-home mom. But she can do that to earn a little bit more money. My brother Tony is currently a missionary in Cameroon with his wife and son. My brother Kenny has a job, but on Friday, the job he has, it's 4 days a week to save money in the city. So on Fridays, he comes in and works at the church. And we all know what I do. I'm not saying that's going to happen for your family. And some of you might not want that to happen for your family. But you do want them to continue in the church. Serve alongside them. Do not make them your excuse not to serve. That could be the worst thing you could do for your child spiritually. Because if they never see you serve and they never serve alongside you, how can they ever see what it's like? I had a best friend growing up named Katrina, and she and I were inseparable. I practically lived at her house. I'm pretty sure there were times that I would spend weeks, maybe not weeks, days on end, like just sleeping over and spending a whole bunch of time with her. Katrina and her family had come to Grand Rapids because her dad became a seminary student, but they were Canadians. And because they were Canadians, they were on a work visa, education visa platform, which means Jenny couldn't work. And so they had 5 kids trying to send them to school, paying for the bills, but she couldn't work. And so my dad decided to help her out and have her help clean his house, and he would pay her for that. So one day, one of those times that I'd been at their house for days on end, it was time for Jenny to go to my dad's house to clean. And so she took her 5 kids and me, 6 of us, I think we were all there, and she started to give each of her kids a job. All right, Byron got this job, Katrina got this job, everyone got a job, and then it came to me, and she goes, okay, Mary, now go do that. And I looked at her and go, but my dad's paying you to do this. I was pretty sassy growing up, but usually only at my parents, typically my mother or my sister, but they should tell you I was very close to this family if I would talk back to Jenny. But see, Jenny said something I will never forget. She turned and she looked at me and she said, as long as you are with me, you are my child and we serve together. We do this together because we are family. See, throughout the New Testament, we get the imagery of a family. God's people are described as co-heirs in Christ. They're referred to as brothers and sister. God is our Father. And in this family, in God's family, we serve. It's not volunteer work. It's what we do. One body with unique roles. We serve in love. And as someone pointed out to me this week, you can't grow if you always say no. Can't grow if you always say no. And let's be honest, a lot of times we just like to go home and watch some TV. I know I would. Okay? But you can't grow if you always say no. At that same children's pastor meeting I was at a couple weeks ago, there was another woman. I don't know her well. I think I've only met her maybe 2 times. And she was talking about the struggles of getting her volunteers to show up, to follow procedure, to sign up. And we said to her, don't make things optional. Make it mandatory. She goes, how can I do that? They're volunteers. See, when we think of you as volunteers, or if you think of yourselves as volunteers, we forget who we're actually serving. And we're serving God. And we serve to bring God glory. Which leads me to my fourth point. We serve to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Charles Spurgeon says this about serving. "Next to this, it is vitally necessary that in all our service, we sincerely and simply render our obedience to the Lord himself. Much that is done religiously is not done unto God." It is not done unto God. A sermon may be preached and contain excellent truth, and the language in which the truth of God is stated may be everything that could be desired. And yet the service rendered may be to the hearers or to the man's own self and not to God at all. You may go to Sunday school class and with great perseverance you may instruct those little children, but yet you may have served your fellow teachers or the general community rather than have served your God. To whom do you look for a reward? Whose smile is it that gladdens you? Whose frown would depress you? Whose honor do you seek in all that you are doing? Remember that which is uppermost in your heart is your master. If your deepest motive is to seem to be active, to appear to be diligent, and to win the commendation of taking your share in the church's work, you have not served God. You have sacrificed unto others. Oh, beloved, this is a point which, though it is very simple to speak of, it is indeed very searching if it is brought home to heart and conscience. For then much of what which glitters will be found not to be gold and the glory of, much apparently excellent serving will dissolve into smoke. The glory of the Lord must be the sole objective of your labor. The pursuit of his glory must be like a clear crystal stream, run through the whole of your life, or you are not yet his servant. See, we don't serve for ourselves. We don't serve to make ourselves look good. We serve because it is to bring glory to God. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. See, and when we serve to glorify God, it doesn't matter if the children tell you that they hate you or that you're mean. And trust me, it will happen more often than you would think. It doesn't mean that you should get angry when someone doesn't thank you when you're cleaning up after service. What matters is that we know that we are serving God, which we are doing this for him, and that he is delighted in our service. Now, on a side note, if you're a parent, thank the teachers. If you see someone cleaning up, help them or say thank you. Put a smile on your face. Be grateful, because that also builds up the church. But that is not why we do it. See, remember, we serve God in all that we do. It is to bring him glory. Don't flake when your ministry leaders ask you to sign up. Do it and humbly serve. When you say you will do something, don't make an excuse when you fall short. Instead of changing your serving schedule around your personal schedules to allow you to serve, change your personal schedules around so that you can serve and fulfill what you're called to do. We all know that we're called to serve. We all know that God has a role for each of his children. But someone has lied to us. Someone has told us that we don't actually need to. The reality is God will get his work done. He is God. But wouldn't you rather be the one that partners with him than the one who misses out on an opportunity to work with him and serve with him and walk with him? I want to be careful here. I don't want you to walk away thinking this message is about doing something. Yes, there is that aspect. But I really want us to look at our hearts. Why is it that we don't want to serve? Or in some cases, why are we serving? As we build up ourselves, as we grow closer to God, there should be a natural desire to step out and be like him. Allow God to speak to you, to show you what is holding you back. Allow him to transform you and mold you.
Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak, and may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today. Let's stand together and sing this. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak, and may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today. Make me a servant, Lord. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak, and may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today.
As I was praying this week, I really felt like God was telling me to tell you to take an opportunity to partner with him. That when we serve, you get to join him. We get to be like a child who helps our dad or mom with taking care of the dishes or vacuuming the house or making dinner. We get to be his special helper, something most children love to be with their parents. Just like children, when helping your parents with different tasks, we get to see a glimpse of who they are, what their character really is. And as we serve, know that we are his children and that God has a part of him that we will only ever get to know when we decide to serve alongside of him. SP, let's allow ourselves to go beyond what makes us comfortable, to see with his eyes, to love with his heart, to walk in his spirit. And remember, we do all of this not for our own recognition or to gain salvation. That has already been given to us, but we do it to glorify God. We can just go across the aisles a second and just pray for each other. Just allow God to speak to you if there's an area that he needs to, whether it be an area that he's calling you to serve in, whether it is to go on the mission trip to Manila, whether it is to join a new ministry, or for God to reveal to you why it's actually you're working and laboring so hard.
Make me a servant today.
So SP, I bless your spirit to connect to Holy Spirit and to lead your body and soul. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.